Welcome back, everyone. Season 3, episode 14 of What Are Your Thoughts? Today's episode will be all about answering client questions specific to when should you fund a Roth IRA, the logistics of a 401k rollover, and then talking about taking advantage of only the upside in terms of investing, where a client asked, you know, if they're able to not take any losses in years where the market's down and only share in the wins when the market is up. After the disclaimer, we will jump in. Thanks for listening.
Doug Osterhart works for LifePoint Planning. All opinions expressed by Doug or any podcast guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of LifePoint Planning. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Clients of LifePoint Planning may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
All right, we're back. The 14th installment of season 3 of What Are Your Thoughts? I'm going to talk about client questions that I've received here over the past couple of months and just talking about logistics things. You know, as we get toward the end of the year, sometimes people are thinking about doing Roth conversions to free up future tax liability or just smooth out future tax liability. So I'm getting, you know, some of these questions about when does it make sense to do a Roth and things like that. So I just wanted to do a quick episode on some of those client questions. So the first one, just logistically in terms of just the shortest answer, is talking about the logistics behind a 401k rollover. So a lot of times when people leave a company, they retire, they move their old employer plan into either a traditional or a Roth IRA. Now, there we could go into details about when it does and does not make sense to actually do a rollover, but that's not the general purpose of this question. It was more or less just, okay, we've made the decision to roll over our old employer account into an IRA. How does that work? And the main question that I've gotten over the past couple of months is, does the money stay invested, right? Because logistically how it works is you open an IRA first at a firm that you want to hold the account at. So like, for example, if you opened an IRA at Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, etc., you would then have an account sitting with $0 in it. And therefore, you know, you would need to use that account as the place to roll over the old 401k. So you call your 401k provider and you say, hey, I have an IRA at XYZ firm and I want to roll over my money into it. Now, you can only do this if you stop working at the firm, you know, or you retired from the firm, or if you're over 59 and a half and they have what we call an in-service distribution capability on the plan. But that's just, you know, neither here nor there. Let's say that, you know, you have the account open at the custodian, it's called, that you want to move the money into. And so you call your 401k provider, you say, hey, make out a check to, you know, John Doe IRA, you know, account number, blah, blah, blah. So that said, though, in volatile market times, which we've experienced in 2022, this question becomes interesting. This next question, which is, does the money stay invested after you move it, you know, in the process of, I should say, of moving it from your 401k to your IRA? That answer is no. What happens is, because 401k plans are generally holding, you know, funds specific to that plan, they cash out all of the funds, right? They move all the funds to cash, and then they send a check or electronically do the transfer to your IRA. So what happens is when the money hits your IRA, it shows up as 100% cash, and therefore you are able to, excuse me, I just got the hiccups, to invest it in any way, shape, or form that you'd like. So that's that, just answering that question. Now, in terms of like risks for that, like, you know, sometimes in times of, you know, market turbulence and volatility, people are a little hesitant, like, oh, what if I miss out on a 5% positive day in the market? Yes, that's that's absolutely a risk. However, over time, you know, that that risk is relatively small, right? The benefits outweigh the costs a lot of times in doing these transactions and missing a couple of days of market movement. It's generally more beneficial to do the rollover, do go forward with your initial plan if that is in your best interest to do. There are other people that just leave their money in their 401k when they do retire or leave that, you know, their respective employer. And, you know, that can be fine. If you like the options, the fees are low and you know what you're doing in terms of that. But in terms of when you roll money from your old 401k to your IRA, that money comes over in cash. So you will miss a couple days in the market. All right, moving on to this next question. I was meeting with a website lead that had scheduled directly from the website, and they, you know, we got talking about tax structure in terms of where they save and what account types, you know, they save into. And the prospect made the point, you know, or they had been saving all pre-tax, and they were in the middle of their career, I'd say, maybe early. No, they were mid to late 40s, early 50s, maybe. And I remember the prospect saying, or because they had all pre-tax dollars, right? Traditional IRA dollars, traditional 401k dollars. And I said, have you ever thought about a Roth? And he responded and saying, well, I thought you should only use Roth if you expect your tax rate in the future to be higher than it is today. And he's like, I'm, you know, a high earner. I don't expect that that will happen. I'm like, okay, you know, when we unpack these questions, I always talk about, you know, anything with a dollar sign having an element of art and science when we make these decisions on what's best for the specific person. So while that may be true, right, is that if you're in a lower tax bracket later, it might make sense to defer those taxes now, whereas with a Roth, you're paying, or you're funding a Roth account or an after-tax account with money that is after tax. So therefore, you're not going to be taxed on it later inside of a Roth IRA. But if today you're in a higher tax bracket than you will be in the future, it doesn't make sense necessarily to do a Roth, all else equal. However, there's a lot more to this equation. And part of this comes from me seeing clients that are in retirement that have only saved in pre-tax accounts, and they have pretty substantial dollars in pre-tax accounts that have this looming tax liability. And the interesting thing about pre-tax accounts is that later on, right now the age is age 72 for most people, is that those accounts have a required minimum distribution, meaning you have to take money out of them every single year once you get past age 72. Well, why would that matter? Well, if people have, you know, if people are retiring and they have Social Security and they have other income sources where they may not need that money, but yet they're forced to take it out, they're forced to take it out and pay additional taxes. And if they're deferring that account all the way to age 72, it can grow pretty big. And then what happens is you take money out, you're immediately bumped up in terms of tax brackets and total tax paid. And it can factor into other things too. For example, you know, Medicare premiums can have a surcharge on them if you have a, you know, high adjusted gross income value. So while it, you know, it feels good for a 45-year-old or a 50-year-old to defer taxes today, later on, they might be at a disadvantage and paying way more taxes than they could ever imagine. So a lot of times what we're doing with clients is looking for ways to smooth out the tax liability, right? Let's say that someone retires at 62 years old and they delay Social Security, and they basically have a clean slate in terms of their income in any given year. They don't have any. They don't have any income on paper because they are not employed anymore. They haven't taken Social Security yet. So they basically are starting from zero. And that gives us some levers to pull, right? We can take a portion of their pre-tax account and move it to a Roth IRA and do what we call a Roth conversion. And that allows them to decide how much they want to convert and therefore how much they want to pay in income tax each year as retirement goes on. Now, that said, you can make Roth conversions at any age. One little caveat, though, is that if you make them before age 59 and a half, you definitely want to pay any taxes on them, on those conversions, from just cash on hand. That said, the going back to the question of, you know, where he said, I thought you should only use Roth if you expect your tax rate to be higher later. Is that true? It's not 100% true. It's case by case for people. I have high earners right now that are in their late 20s, early 30s that are making a few hundred thousand dollars per year. And we're, you know, deferring some into their employer accounts, but a good amount of it we're also doing in after-tax solutions. And whether it's, you know, a backdoor Roth IRA or, you know, an after-tax just a taxable account with maybe something that, you know, inside of it that it's invested in that has, you know, low or we're sensitive in terms of taxes, right? That's always key. Now, that said, it's really interesting. I was sitting on a call with a client a couple weeks ago, and they have substantial pre-tax monies. And I remember one spouse said, man, why didn't we do Roth only forever, no matter what the taxes were up front? And part of that reason was because Roth wasn't invented when they started saving money. But the thought is just that, you know, A, we can't even predict what tax rates are going to be. A lot of people do think, or it's factual that we're in a relatively low tax percentage environment in terms of U.S. history. But in terms of predictions of where tax rates will go in the future, a lot of people think that taxes, you know, the rates will get raised across the board in the future. But the truth is, we don't know. And if tax rates stay exactly the same from now until you die, it doesn't matter which account you save money into, if it's pre-tax or Roth, if your tax rate stays exactly the same. However, what we see in retirement is that tax rates, you know, your income changes, therefore your tax rate does change. And to think that, oh, you know, let's defer it now, let's defer taxes now in a pre-tax account so that when we're in retirement, maybe our tax rate's lower so that we're taxed on a lower amount, you know, that's great in conventional thinking. The problem is, if you're a good saver and you're an aggressive saver, you can essentially get penalized, because if you don't take out enough by age 72, or if you don't take out enough in general, in terms of like smoothing out tax liability for distributions, you can have a tax time bomb in your later years. And that can affect Medicare premiums and other things. So you have to be mindful of that. So to make a rule of thumb that, oh, you know, everyone should do pre-tax or everyone should do Roth, or you should split 50-50, it's just not true. What you have to do is decide on, okay, based on your current income and the amount with which you're saving, right? If you make $250,000 a year and you're saving $125,000 per year, you know, it's important to think about, how will this affect you long term? If you're saving only, you know, let's say you make $50,000 per year and you're saving 20% of your income, or you make $100,000 a year, you're saving 20% of your income. It's still important, because over time, that account adds up. Those accounts add up. They double, you know, with your contributions. And it's important to project future tax liability, not just what you will pay this year in taxes. It's a very, very important. So when we're doing planning, it's not just as simple as, oh yeah, your tax rate's going to be lower or higher next year or in the future, so here's what you need to do today, right? We need to really focus in on what makes sense for that specific client. So adding an element of tax planning is super important. All right, moving on to just this last question. I had a client ask, you know, because 2022 has been a down year in both the stock market and the bond market, just talking about, okay, is there a way that we can only take the positive return years and not take the negative return years, right? And that would be awesome if we could, you know, oh, the market was down in any given year, great, we didn't lose anything. Oh, the market's up like it was in 2021, 20-something percent, we just captured all of that. Well, in a perfect world, that would be awesome to do. Now, that said, in terms of reality, there are ways where you can, you know, essentially do one or the other, right? You could buy an index fund and you get 100% of the upside minus small fees in those index funds, right? If you bought VTI, right, Vanguard's total market index, and you just held that, you get whatever the index does. You get what the market performs on the upside and the downside. So at least, you know, there you have the upside covered, but the downside, like in 2022, if your goal was to not take any losses, you would be upset. Now, on the other side of the coin, you can buy, you know, CDs that only get upside, but you're capped, right? There's a limit, there's a rate that CDs pay, and so therefore, you know, there's a trade-off, right? You're getting low returns relative to other potential returns in the marketplace if you use CDs or, you know, treasury bills or something, but you at least don't have a loss of principal. So there's always trade-offs to every solution. And it's interesting, I've talked about these before, and I implement them with clients and that are, you know, on the cusp of retirement, in retirement, or simply just want some level of protection. And you can use what we call buffered ETFs. And some of those, let's say that they buffer against the first 15% of downside over a 12-month period in your portfolio. So like, let's say you bought an outcome, a defined outcome ETF where, you know, you had January 1st to December 31st, right? 1 year period. Well, you could buy it where it says, okay, it looks at the price of the S&P 500 on January 1st. And if the index is down, you know, negative one to negative 15, you don't get any losses in your account over that year period. So you look back 1 year from, you know, purchase date, and if the market was down 10%, you'd be down zero or just about 1% or 0.75%, depending on the fee structure inside of the ETF, which is great. However, there's a trade-off for that. The return to the upside is capped. So you might be able to miss some of the downside, but on the upside, you might be capped. And right now, you know, the caps are kind of high because the market has been down on the year. But basically, like, you know, let's say a cap is 18, 19%, like they are right now, 20%. Would you be mad at a 20% positive return? You know, if the market was up 30% over that 12-month period, you'd miss out on 10%. You'd still get your 20% return to the upside, but basically, there's trade-offs, right? You hedged on 15% to the downside. So if the market was down, you would have been hedged against and protected those losses. Again, there's an art and a science, and it's really dependent upon what the client's goals are. But in terms of, you know, the question, can we only take advantage of upside returns and miss the, you know, downside? You can do that, but there's a trade-off. And the trade-off is that the return to the upside will probably be capped. So does that make it a terrible solution? No, it makes it an okay solution for certain people that desire those certain types of asset classes. You can do the same thing, you know, contractually guaranteed, right? You can do that same thing in terms of a 0% floor, right? Where your return is absolutely, you know, never lower than zero. You can do that in some fixed index annuities. There are, you know, some index universal life insurance contracts in the marketplace. And basically what those do is they say, okay, you have a floor and a cap where your floor might be 0% and your cap might be 10%, but you know that you're not ever going to take anything lower than a zero. And some clients, you know, like that, that is a possibility for a segment of their portfolio, an overall piece that allows them to not have to ride any volatility in the market. They also might like that for income, where you can say, okay, where the rest of your portfolio, we might have to, you know, make more conservative, if you will, as a client enters retirement. If we had a bucket of money that had a 0% floor and a 10% cap or something, we don't have to make that money, quote unquote, more conservative, because we know that it can't ever go backwards. So do I think that, you know, everyone should put all their money into something with a floor and a cap? No. Do I think that it makes sense for certain clients that, you know, understand and know themselves that that, you know, having some protection to the downside, whether it's a buffered ETF or a product with a floor, does make sense? Yeah. I mean, and that's part of identifying yourself, your retirement style, your goals, so that you can identify the best solutions for your specific situation. Hopefully that was helpful. The short answer there is we can basically capture one thing, whether it's, you know, 100% upside gain, but then you're, you know, you have risk to the downside, but you can also capture a 0% floor and not lose any money, but your upside would be capped, right? There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've heard that for a long time. A lot of times the best solution for a lot of clients is to have some type of combination, right? We say diversification is the, you know, the industry term for that, is just how much and what type of diversification makes sense for you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and cut this episode here. Thank you everyone so much for listening. If you have questions or anything, send me a note, info@lifepointplanning.com, and we will catch everyone next time. Thanks.